done their bit for this cause, or maybe they decided they had been wrong, but whatever the case, now they want to return to their European cultures and re-enter the mainstream, and they just can't find jobs.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
I heard a news item. It was this last Wednesday morning that caught my attention. It concerned a certain class of people across several European countries who were having trouble finding jobs and were unhappy about the trouble that they were having finding jobs. Who were these people? They are former jihadis. Now understand, I'm not talking about people who were born in the Middle East, or in many cases even people who are, strictly speaking, of Middle Eastern ethnic origin, talking about native-born Frenchmen, Spaniards, Portuguese, etc., who decided to go over to the Middle East for jihadi training, make that terrorist training, some few of whom may actually have fought on the battlefield against their native country, but most of them were probably more useful in propaganda and that sort of thing. But they went over and they did these things. Maybe the thrill wore off. Maybe they figured they had done their bit for this cause. Or maybe they decided they had been wrong. But whatever the case, now they want to return to their European cultures and re-enter the mainstream. And they just can't find jobs. And the reason they can't find jobs is because potential employers check your social media these days. And when they check these people's social medias, there's all these pictures of them standing on top of a tank with a grenade launcher in one hand and a combat knife in the other hand, shouting, "Death to the West!" I will shuffle this resume to the side. Some of these people went so far as to change their names. New name, new life. Didn't help. The prospective employers have read Shakespeare, and they know that a psychopathic murderer by any other name would stink just as bad. The prospective employer pictures this person coming to work with a machine gun and creating an international incident, which would be bad for business and maybe personally bad for the prospective employers, because bullets don't care who's boss. So no jobs for jihadis. You cannot believe how many people think this is unfair. I say, give the poor guys a job. There is no end of old minefields in the world that need cleaned up. Who better? But perhaps I am being unkind and prejudicial. Here's what I know, however, and however we may feel about this or given any given issue. As you sow, so shall you reap. Several different passages throughout the Bible make this point, including the one that we have read today. You get to measure out your own portion of either the blessing or the curse. You go all the way back to Deuteronomy at least, and there it is. You get to measure out your own portion of either the blessing or the curse. Choose. Or as Jesus has it in this passage this morning, as you measure out, so shall it be measured unto you. Now sometimes we suspect that Jesus may have had this one wrong. Since I have mentioned social media, the church has a Facebook page. Be sure to like us on Facebook. But in the course of managing that page, I get a fair amount of exposure to Facebook. And I can tell you that for many people, Facebook is a platform for complaints. Now, I'm going to note that that does not seem to be true by and large of the members of this congregation. You have a little more elevated use for Facebook. By the way, how many of you, I keep doing things to Dave without asking, how many of you have checked out Dave's daily devotions on Facebook? Oh, you are missing it. You should look for them. If you don't know how to find them, talk to Dave today. Dave has a very good daily devotion on Facebook. I check it out every day, and I always miss them when you take a break, Dave. But for many people, Facebook is a platform for complaints. And one of the ones that I see most often is one phrasing or another of this idea. When other people needed help, I gave them help. And now that I need help, where are they? Everybody ignores me, but I need help. And I suppose that this is sometimes true, or at least partly true. And I understand all the reasons for the modern proverb, no good deed goes unpunished. Or as one friend of mine used to say, if you set out to do good, wear shin guards. You know that old story about Androcles and the lion? Everybody remembers that, how little Andy plucked that thorn from the lion's paw, and the next time that they met, the lion remembered and was so grateful. You remember that story? The truth is, the lion would have eaten little Andy the first time. While he had the thorn in his fingers, if not before. And then he would have found some other poor sap to moan to about the thorn in his tongue. And that person would have made an even more convenient meal, having reached into the lion's mouth and all that. That's what really would happen. We're cynics. And in our cynicism, we are sometimes not so sure that Jesus had this right. But then, I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't exactly mean what we think he meant when he said this. I am sure that he did not mean that the people we help and show kindness to will always be the same as the people who help and show kindness to us. The little parable about measuring your own comes in the midst of a group of parables that are all about the kingdom of God and the spread of the gospel, as almost all of Jesus' parables are. When you understand it that way, the fact that we do not always receive kindness from people to whom we have been kind does not undo the truth Jesus spoke. In fact, if there was ever anybody who knew about being kind to people and not always receiving kindness in return, don't you think that person is Jesus? If there was ever anybody who knew all about being kind to people and not even receiving gratitude in return, don't you think that person was Jesus? He knew all about these things. And even though he continued to experience that phenomenon through the entire portion of his earthly life and ministry, right up to the betrayal by Judas Iscariot, he never retracted this thing about measuring your own. As you measure, so shall it be measured back to you. Again, it's about the kingdom of God. in the spread of the gospel. Ultimately, I don't even think this tiny parable is really so concerned with what we might call and what we get caught up in the immediate practical level. If I give money and any other kind of aid to people in need, those people will help me when my hour of need comes round. At the very least, to the extent that that's what the parable is about, the connections are not the ones we usually draw. Now, for what it's worth, I have been helped. I have received aid from people that I have previously helped. Everybody's probably had that experience, right? People that you have helped you, right? We've been there. I have also been ignored by people that I have helped. Everybody been there? I have gone to the wall for someone and ended up with my back against the wall fending off attacks from that person for whom I went to the wall. Everybody been there? We've all been there. But if that's what the parable is strictly about, it wouldn't be a parable about the kingdom of God. It would be a simple tutorial on interpersonal relationships and a kind of shallow one at that. If I scratch your back, you should scratch mine. Or as some sages have it, kindness is the best insurance policy. My experience is that even if you have been kind to someone, when you run your car into theirs, insurance is the best insurance policy. But I should help people. I should help people because I want them to help me back. Rather than say, because I love them and their needs are important to me, I should help people because I want them to help me back. Rather than say, I look around at this selfish, messed up world and think, this is just wrong and I'm not going to be that way. I should help people because I want them to help me back. Rather than because my values lay with God and I know what He expects of me, when I run into a situation of need in one of His children whom He loves. If the parable were about the kingdom of God rather than a simple tutorial on interpersonal relationships, those are the directions you would expect it to run. And it is about the kingdom of God. It's about that place, that time, that space where God is king, and what happens when people finally submit their wills to Him. And it does show up on the practical level that we all first think about. But it isn't so much that I buy an insurance policy for myself by thinking that the people I've helped will help me in turn. It's more like I make myself available for the will and the purposes of God. And when I find people in need, I am privileged to become a part of His provision for those needs. Those people may never help me. I may never see some of those people again. But I was there at the right time and was privileged to be part of God's provision for their need. And that having been said, should I think somehow that God is going to be absent when my time of need rolls around? Can I not imagine that God might raise up somebody totally unexpected who owes me nothing, but who will help me because they love God and follow His purposes and enter into His kingdom? See, the more we love and trust God, the more we enter into His kingdom, the more we become part of His provision for every situation we encounter, the ones that involve people's physical needs and the ones that don't, the more we know that He will take care of us. The more I become a part of God's blessings, the more I become blessed. And this is what God is about. If you want to find out about people who look out for themselves first and you not at all, or even if you just want to find out about people who will receive every kind of kindness you can offer and give no kindness in return, or even if you just want to find out about people who will help you, but only if you help them first, that's not the kingdom of God. That's the world. And you don't have to look hard to find it. It's all around us. If you want to discover something different than that, look into the kingdom of God. And the deeper we get into His kingdom, the more available we will become for doing His will, Him being our King and all. And the more reason we will find to trust that He will see to our needs, you may also find that God occasionally has a different assessment of what you need than you have. But that too will become joy before all is done. So again, the measure your own principle works its way into the practical level, but I don't think that's the main point. And you have to add that second half of the thought. Unto you that hear, more shall be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Speaking King James. Again, on the practical, physical level, there are a lot of really selfish, worldly people who manage to have a lot of money and stuff because that's very important to them. And they trust their money and their stuff to preserve and to keep them. They don't give it away to other people in need because other people should take care of themselves. The way that these people have taken care of themselves, and because giving away those means that you trust to keep and preserve you is, from the worldly point of view, probably not that great an idea. That said, first, I am not interested in worldly, selfish people losing all their stuff. They may. They may not. That isn't the point. They may keep every cent, every square inch, every bit. They may keep it all right up to the point of death. And then, what? How much good will it do them? Then, O thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee, and then whose shall all these things be? But let's back up. That is always ultimately true, but let's back up from that point a little bit. To be blessed means essentially to be happy. And 60 years of life, come just another week or so, 60 years of life, has left me sure of these two things that I will share with you now. Number one, there is no certain and positive correlation between having money and being happy. I'm just telling you what I have observed. Money doesn't make people happy. Two, there is a certain and positive correlation between submitting to the will of God and being happy. Walking with God, truly walking with God, makes people happy. It makes them blessed. How many of us have known this person? $100? Well, that's nice, I guess, but a measly $100 won't enable me to do any of the things I really want to do, much less tackle the whole list. Let me know when you really want to help. I've been around exchanges like that, and my default thought is always this. I'll take the $100. How many of us have known this person? $100. What a blessing. Now, which of the many good things that I could do with $100 shall I choose to do? When I witness this exchange, my default response is, let me chip in another $100. Both statements express the same reality. The kindness that I receive at this particular moment will not solve all my problems for all my life. But one receives it negatively, and the other positively. One with resentment, and one with joy. You tell me which of those attitudes you believe correlates most to people who are in the kingdom of God, and which to those who are merely in the world. And then know that the person who is in the kingdom is always receiving more blessing. Always more blessing. While the person who is out of the kingdom is always losing even that blessing which they have. He who has ears, let him hear. And then decide where you'd like to be, because in the kingdom of God and in the world, you get to choose your own portion of blessing or curse. Now, I began this sermon with an example about people betraying their own country and reaping at least small subsequent consequences. I meant for this whole sermon to trend kind of more in that national direction for the Independence Day weekend. Sometimes my sermons just won't do what I want them to do. And that's okay, because I finally conclude they have to do what God wants them to do. But as I come down to the end, I will say, it is not always true that countries and nations reward or punish people as they ought based on the citizens' contribution or lack thereof to the common good. That is not as true in the world as it ought to be. But this remains true. Inevitably, wholly, 100% true. Nations and countries, just like individuals, get to measure out their own portion of blessing or curse. We as citizens get to have some say in that. In case I'm confusing you, just one simple example. I graduated from high school in 1975. People who graduated in 75 or before, like 74, 73, 72, going back, okay. When I and you guys were in high school, what were the major problems? Smoking in the boys' room, running in the hall. Some stuff with chewing gum and bubble gum and maybe sassing the teacher and one thing and another. Caleb has some smart remark to make. Go ahead. It was running from the saber-toothed tigers and tyrannosaurs. Something. Yeah, pretty close. Okay, yeah. All right. In subsequent years, our nation has made certain choices about its relationship to God, about its place in the kingdom, about the mission that it will pursue. What are the problems in schools today? Drugs, murder, rape, school shootings, teachers having affairs with students, students having sex in the bathrooms. You get to choose your own portion of the blessing or the curse. For it is just like this. The more inclusion in the kingdom, the greater the blessing. The more drift toward the world, greater the curse. It is true for individuals. It is true for nations. It is true for our nation. And maybe we can't change everything, but as citizens, we can change some things. And the more deeply that we enter into the kingdom, the better not only for us, but for America and for the world. Measure your own. If you feel like you've been excluded from the blessing, maybe there are some choices that you have made that have determined your portion. But even if that's so, there are choices you can make today that will change your portion. Enter into His kingdom.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.